Let it in, surrender. Let it in, surrender. Let it in, surrender. Honor all you need to let it go.
Hello, my loves. My name is Nitika Chopra, and I am your host for the Point of Pain podcast. This is your chance to sink into a safe space where we explore the highs and the lows of life and the pain that often comes with it in a way that gets us through our most challenging moments. So today I have somebody on the show that I feel very honored to be interviewing. I'm so honored that she has become a friend of mine, and I'm just genuinely really inspired by her. I gush about her throughout this episode, so you'll hear all the reasons why I think she is just so wonderful and such an inspiration. And I'm talking about Ingrid Nielsen. Ingrid has become a friend of mine just over this last year in 2019, and we started off by being introduced, you know, by her girlfriend, Erica Anderson, who I love and who I've been a friend of for a very long time now. And we sort of started connecting through, I think, a little bit of work. I was on Ingrid's podcast, One Step, which I absolutely love. So you'll have to check that out in the show notes where we link it. And we talked, and I remember feeling honestly so lucky that she asked me to be on the show and that she was so kind and considerate and genuinely just really wanted to have a loving, you know, safe conversation that was going to help people. I can resonate with that. That is so my jam. And I appreciate her and all the work that she's done. And we really get into her story on this episode. We talk a lot about grief, which is a huge part of Ingrid's story. And by looking at her on the internet, it could be so easy to think that, you know, her life is perfect or that she's never had any issues or whatever your thing might be that you assume and think about people when you just take a first glance at them. But Ingrid really lets us know that a lot of the beauty that has come into her life has been through dealing with tremendous loss and a lot of challenges that she has been so vulnerable about throughout the years. So just to let you know a little bit more about Ingrid's professional background, she is a New York City creative and an online video personality who's spent 10 years pioneering an industry that has changed the way media and advertising is consumed. With over 8 million followers across her social channels, Ingrid uses her platform to challenge the beauty and wellness industry through informative content and interviews with some of the world's most influential people, including President Obama and Bill Gates. Her CoverGirl ambassadorship was the first brand partnership of its kind between a traditional beauty brand and an online personality. Which to me, when I hear that, is just like, wow, that's so interesting, because now influencers and partnerships are just so everyday, a part of the everyday life. But Ingrid was the first of its kind. I mean, that is just incredible between her and CoverGirl. She's gone on to do many partnerships with global brands like Amazon, Unilever, and now Fresh. Ingrid was awarded the Digital Innovator Award by Trevor Live, the Streamy Beauty Channel Award, was selected for Oprah's Super Soul 100, and also named a UN Change Ambassador for Gender Equality. In her spare time, she hangs out in Brooklyn with her dog, Tato, watches French TV shows, and eats a lot of chocolate chip cookies. I so appreciate that. Anyway, so I just wanted to make sure that you knew a little bit about Ingrid before we dive into our episode. And I really, really hope you enjoy this conversation with Ingrid Nielsen. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Point of Pain. I wish you could all see me right now because I have the biggest smile on my face. Can you hear it in my voice? I am so excited for today's guest because she is someone that I am a fangirl of, genuinely. She's someone that I am so grateful to call a friend, and She's honestly someone I look at her work often when I feel like I need inspiration and I need to be reminded of why I am doing what I'm doing. I go to Ingrid Nielsen. Hi, honey.
Hi. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy. I feel like we're going to have the biggest love fest on our show today.
I know.
And I'm just so excited. Yeah, I just wanted to have this conversation with you because you are someone that, well, I was introduced to you through your girlfriend, Erica, who I've been friends with for years. So I just want to give her a shout out for this love fest that's about to happen because I feel like she needs some credit because I'm so grateful that she introduced us. And you're someone that when I looked at your stuff online, and that was just like a first glance, right? And not looking into all the substance behind everything, I was like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty and she has so many followers. And all of a sudden I was just like, who is this person? Like, where does she want to take us? Is this just about beauty? Is this about so many other things? Like, where are you going to go? Because honestly, on the social media world, and Ingrid, I know you know this so well, it can be so one-dimensional, right? Mm-hmm. When people look at your content, you are the opposite of one-dimensional. You go into the crevices of life in a way that I am just in awe of. And I think it's something that, you know, if you're listening and you haven't somehow, you're not one of the 3.66 million people that are following Ingrid on YouTube already, or the 1.4 million people that are following Ingrid on Instagram already, and you haven't, you know, checked out all of her stuff, I really encourage you to, because you take conversations that are really hard to have. You know, we're having a conversation about the point of pain, and you bring up things that have been really challenging for you in your life. And you do it with such grace and such beauty. And it's really, really powerful to watch. So I kind of want to just start from the beginning a little bit. I know you've been doing this for like, what is it, 10 years now? I think you just had your 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I did.
It's been a while. But I want to kind of go back to that first moment. You know, what prompted you to start sharing about your journey and your life on the internet? And specifically, you started on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's so interesting that we're having this conversation today, because I was just talking to Christina, who's my production manager. We work together every single day. And I was talking to her about how I always start my story with talking about how my dad died. And in person, I'm always just kind of like, I am okay with my story, but I'm always just like, okay, what are the faces I'm going to get this time? What are the responses I'm going to get? And, yep, you know, I'm not doing it to get a response out of people. It's simply my truth. And I've just noticed that over the years, as I have really fallen into my story, that people are uncomfortable with where it begins, but I don't know any other place to begin. So I'm really happy to be here because this is the perfect environment to start off my story, which starts with the death of my father when I was 17 years old. He died really unexpectedly when I was 17. He went from being totally healthy to dead in the span of a week.
Wow.
And I was just a total wreck. I think I was in shock for a really long time. And before that, my mom had been diagnosed with cancer when I was 14. So right when I started high school, she was diagnosed with what they called stage 3 high risk breast cancer.
Wow.
So it was really uncertain if she was going to live or not. She went through really, really aggressive treatment and was in treatment all the way until I was 19, 20 years old. I remember at my high school graduation, she came in a wheelchair 2 or 3 days after having surgery. My teen years were just an intense time in general. I think that all teenagers have an intensity in their teen years, but mine was really in this way of, you know, the people who were closest to me, my caregivers, people that I loved, I was experiencing these really huge pivotal life moments at such a young age when you're already, you know, pretty tender at that age. Yeah. I feel like you're just starting to open up to the world. You're experiencing your first pains in a lot of ways. And my first like major pains were really, really big ones that my peers were not experiencing. And so it felt really isolating to be in that space to be growing up with a sick parent and then to have my other parent die unexpectedly when I was kind of just, you know, expecting maybe my mom is going to die and then my dad suddenly dies. Like that really shook my world a lot. And I think now being an adult, I've realized that people just don't know how to deal with grief, but people really don't know how to deal with grief when a young person is involved. And so I really did not have any support when I was going through all of this. You know, my school didn't know how to support me. I really struggled after my dad died, and I went from having straight A's. I remember this school year after he died, since he died towards the end of my junior year, at the beginning of my senior year, I started with straight A's and then, you know, dropped off and was basically like, I had F's and D's and C's in my classes. And it was just this really stark, like drop off. And I didn't receive support from my school. I don't think they knew what to do. I didn't have support in other places in my life because my mom was really sick. She was going through her own grief. So I felt really, really isolated. And I was in this extreme place of pain and just not really knowing what was going on and feeling so abnormal, just feeling like no one else around me has had any of these experiences. I have no one to talk to about this. And I really just went into darkness. You know, I think that this is the point where some people will reach for drugs, some people will reach for alcohol, some people might reach for tobacco. Like these are all things that are shown by the very few studies that do exist. Young people who have experienced a loss close to them before the age of 18 have a much higher risk of depression, of severe emotional problems, really struggling in school, addiction, attachments to drugs and alcohol, tobacco, et cetera. Like all of these risks go up exponentially under the age of 18 and very much so still under the age of like 25 and under. The risk is very high for a close loss. So whether it's a parent, guardian, or sibling, that risk is extremely high. And by the time that young people reach, you know, college age, like in your early 20s, late teens, over 80% of young people have experienced some kind of loss, yet there are so few studies around grief in young people and how to help them navigate this huge moment in their lives. And, you know, death is one thing that none of us can avoid. We're all going to die. And if we live long enough, we're going to experience someone close to us dying. And so it's a common experience that all of us have. Yeah. And it's astonishing now to realize like how little research there is around it for young people and how few resources there are for young people. And it gives me context around like why I was struggling so much. I was like, oh, okay, I'm not imagining this. This is a real thing that other people have gone through too. And so for me, I really reached for, I think, relationships that weren't right for me, being in unhealthy relationships. I lied a lot because, you know, I had this life that was so painful, that wasn't this like picture perfect portrait of what a safe and secure life was. And I just so desperately wanted that, even for a brief moment. And I would lie to people about who I was, whether it was like something small or something larger. Like, I had always felt like I had to go to college, and that's what I had to do to be a respectable person, to be a smart person, to have a safe and predictable life. And I would lie to people about having graduated college, and I just so desperately wanted that safe path that I saw other people taking. And
yeah,
I wanted that security. And now, looking back on my younger self, I don't blame her for that. You know, I think in these moments of pain, we do things that we just need to do to survive that moment. And for me, it wasn't like reaching for alcohol or drugs or anything like that. It was reaching for stories that I wished were true about myself.
Wow.
These lies, and also reaching for what I felt I was missing in other people, looking for what I wanted in other people. So I was still reaching outside of myself, which I think is the common denominator of, you know, reaching for drugs or alcohol. You're reaching outside of yourself for something. And you're also trying to numb yourself too, to forget about what your experience is. And that's exactly what I was doing.
Wow.
It was just in a different way. And so I was really struggling when I discovered YouTube when I was 20 years old. So that's when I started making YouTube videos. And at that point, I had been watching YouTube videos for about a year or so. And I found the YouTube community kind of by chance. I think that I had just been Googling makeup because I was curious about it. I had never really been super interested in it before, but I was curious about it and Googled it, and then found these girls and women from all over the world talking about makeup and what they were buying. And I was just so annoyed with magazines at that time because I had saved up my money so many times to buy something that just didn't work. And quite frankly, I was just tired of buying another shitty lipstick that just like wasn't going to work for me, or a really bad concealer that wasn't going to work for me. And these people were different because they were real people, and they would like show me how to use the products. And I felt like I could be friends with these women. And it really helped me to feel less alone during a time where I felt so extremely isolated in my grief and in my pain, and so ashamed of who I was. And it gave me this space of privacy to really start connecting with people in a small way, even though they weren't right in front of me. It still felt like a connection, and then a connection with myself. And so after watching these young women on YouTube, I just had this idea of like, what if I made a YouTube video? And at this time, it was not like a career path for people. It wasn't something cool. Most people didn't even know that like communities were even forming on YouTube at the time. I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know how to do anything. I barely knew how to use like a camera on my laptop. So I made my YouTube channel at 3 a.m. I named it Miss Glamorazzi.
Wow.
I know. Lady Gaga's Paparazzi was popular at that time. And so I was like, this sounds like a great name at 3 a.m. But I think it's important to acknowledge that, like,
yeah,
you know, that name, while it may not be something that I would choose now, it's such a part of my story and my journey.
Yeah.
And I was so excited about it at that time. Like, younger 20-year-old Ingrid was so excited. So absolutely. I remember, yeah. And I remember jumping out of bed at making my channel, and then the next day being like, what did I just do? Then I decided, okay, well, I've made my channel. Now I'll try making a video. So I filmed a video, I put it up on YouTube, and I didn't even get a single view for like weeks. And when it got its first view and first comment, I was so scared because it felt so vulnerable. It felt like it was one thing to put the video up. It was another thing to know that a person had seen it. And I was just so nervous. I was like, oh God, everything has changed. This is very different now. I remember the person just being really lovely, and I responded to their comment, and then slowly more people started coming in and leaving comments, and they asked me to post more. And I thought about it and I thought, well, yeah, I think I could do another one. That felt good to do that. And so it was really this slow process of responding to people, making the videos that I wanted to make at that time that I felt like I could make, then connecting with other people who were doing the same thing on YouTube, because it was just a much smaller community. And so it was way more possible to have a better idea of everybody who was making videos at that time and to connect with people. And it was just a really special experience, and it grew gradually over time and really reconnected me with my creativity, which I had let go of when my dad had died and really just spiraled into this darkness. So that is how it all started. I know it's kind of long-winded, but
no.
That's what it is.
I so appreciate just how open you are. And I loved hearing about all of that. Actually, it's super helpful. And while you were talking, I was sort of taking notes as to like things that I would want to bring up, because there was so much in there and it's all really, really valuable and important. So one of the things that you brought up, and I think that the way you said it, all of it was so great, but the part about when you were dealing with the grief that other people didn't know how to show up for you. So this is something I talk about a lot, especially in the chronic illness community, that like when you're going through a flare up, or, you know, you're having a really hard time with your health, or, you know, maybe it is with grief and the loss of someone you love or divorce, like there's so many things that can really derail us in our lives. And people can sort of disappoint you during that time. There's a lot of people that can show up and be wonderful, but there's also that reality of people that maybe you hoped or thought would really be able to show up for you, just don't know how. So as 17-year-old Ingrid, you weren't aware even that that was what's happening. Like now looking back, you can see that. But for someone going through it today, what would you say that like is a good way to help yourself with that? Like what do people do if they find that they're getting derailed in life and people aren't showing up for them the way they thought? Like where can they go? What do they do?
I think for me, honestly, the hugest help for me, because I really felt like there was no one in my life that I could really deeply talk to about this. I felt really unsafe in a lot of ways. So for me, the internet was a huge comfort for me. And I think now I really have to recognize what a huge tool it was, especially now that we're in this time of having a more critical dialogue about the internet, which I think is so important and so needed. And I'm definitely a part of that conversation. But there's also this other side of the internet that it was a tool for me to start healing when I didn't have anyone, a single person in my life that I could talk to. I could find people on the internet. And now there are resources for, you know, grief online. It's much easier to do a Google search and find bereavement groups and forums where people are sharing their stories, where you don't even have to say anything. You can just go and hear stories from other people. Now there's a podcast that I love called Terrible Thanks for Asking. I love the host, Nora, and she talks about her own experience with grief, but she also brings other people on the podcast to talk about their experiences of grief. And there are just so many more resources now. But even when I was younger, I really gravitated towards the internet because I felt like I could have the space of privacy that I needed at that moment to really evaluate the things that I was going through. And I think that when we're going through something hard, we need support, but we also need that space of privacy too. And the internet gave me that space of privacy to explore and also start finding people who were saying things where I felt, oh, that's like what I needed to hear today. Or, oh, that person has experienced something similar. Or, oh, that person has felt ashamed of something that I have felt ashamed of, and they are living their lives and they're talking about it and like they're thriving. And I think that gave me so much hope. And it really started at a small, you know, level for me with YouTube. And I think it was so powerful to just be able to see different people, specifically women from all over the world, not only talking about products, but they were talking about the things that they were going through in their lives. And that felt like such a meaningful connection and helped me have the courage to start opening up to myself about my own story. And then that led to, you know, having the courage to step away from relationships that weren't working for me, which then gave me the courage to pursue relationships and attachments that were better suited for me at the time, that were supportive. And it just had a domino effect. But I really see the internet as just playing such a huge role in my process of healing, because it connected me to people that I wouldn't have been connected to otherwise.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, you know, and I know, I think you and I have talked about this just privately as friends too, like the internet can be such a source of anxiety or frustration or, you know, even pain for some people. But what I'm hearing is that you were really intentional about, one, like the things that you were ingesting and allowing yourself to come across and take in. And then there's also this opportunity to curate and really seek out exactly what you need and exactly what you're looking for. And so versus this kind of like letting the internet happen to you, you know, sort of taking it into your own hands and saying like, this is what I want my Instagram feed to be filled with, or, you know, this is what I want all my YouTube subscriptions to have, or whatever it might be. I think that's really powerful because I do think in the last year or two, maybe more, that people are really standing up to some of the negative effects that the internet and, you know, social media in particular have had, and are trying to really take a stand for, no, like we can have beauty and positivity and grace and laughter and joy and all these things online. It doesn't have to be this dark place. So, I mean, that's really moving to me that you were able to find that light while so many people have sort of gotten sucked into the darkness of the internet. I think that's a really great thing for people to remember, that they can be empowered.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing that came up for me while you were just talking as well is this part about you've really beautifully allowed the internet to sort of guide you, but you've also been a guide for so many online. And that is just such an incredible thing. And this might sound weird, but I'm like so happy that you guide so many people, because I think your advice and your grace and your talent are just, we need more of it in the world. So I think it's awesome. And you share certain things about your life in a way that, I mean, I watch your videos sometimes and you'll tear up, or you might get emotional, and I'm crying right with you, just so you know. I'm like, oh, here we
Thank
go.
You. I appreciate that.
Yes, like it's happening. It's happening. I'm alone in my apartment watching Ingrid and we're crying together somehow. But I want to know, you know, you came out on YouTube. You also, the conversation you were just having about lying and, you know, telling people that you went to college, but that actually wasn't true. Like that was really hard for you. And you shared these really beautiful moments, which as a viewer watching those things, I mean, just broke me open in like the best way. You know, I was just like, wow, this type of vulnerability and truth. I'm even getting like teary-eyed thinking about it. It's just, it's what we need in this world. And I think if we had more of that within each of ourselves, like, you know, there wouldn't be so much frustration and pain and heartache. But I get asked a lot, or I know people think about, how do you go through the process of like when you're going to share something? Because I know, like, you know, for your coming out story, for example, like you shared that 4 years ago. And I mean, the video is so powerful. If you guys haven't watched it, you should. And I know that there was a longstanding personal journey that you were going through before you just decided, okay, I'm going to just throw the video up. And like, you know what I mean? Like you took a lot of thought into when you were going to share it and how you were going to share it. And I just want to know, like, what is that process like a little bit? Because I know people out there sometimes struggle with oversharing or sharing before they're ready, and then they get really hurt because they're not really ready. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Yeah. Just thinking about my coming out story and, you know, telling the story behind not graduating from college and how I lied about it. It's a constant process. And with coming out, I had really taken a lot of time to first and foremost come out to myself. And that was, I mean, such a long process. It was basically my entire life up until that point, but really in a more intensive way, that year leading up to my public coming out on YouTube. I remember that I had really been struggling internally at that time, and externally, I was having so much success. I was growing faster than I ever had before. I was, you know, engaged in partnerships that had never been seen before on the internet. And so all of these huge things were happening externally for me. And I was going through this really intense internal struggle where it's like everything is going, like, quote unquote, right now. And why am I in such turmoil? And I chose to dig into that. And it was so hard because it was one of those points in my life where it feels like the wind blows and like you just start sobbing. And I think those points of life that we find ourselves in are so hard because it just feels like every day we're in a different place and, you know, we're being really cruel to ourselves and then we're trying to be kind to ourselves. And it just feels like we're being yanked around and pulled in all of these different directions by the universe and our internal self-talk. And it is so confusing when you're in it. And I remember really holding on to the moments of clarity that I had that I think were really coming from my deeper self and my deeper instincts, where I remember having a phone call and just breaking down on the phone call and basically saying, like, I can't take anymore. I'm falling apart and I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. And I, after that phone call, booked myself a trip to New York City because I just felt like I need to go to New York. I know I love New York City. I'm going to get an Airbnb in New York City and just spend like 6 weeks there and just be away from all of the things that I am familiar with and figure out like what is happening inside of me. And so I got an Airbnb in Chelsea. I was there for 6 weeks and it was so incredibly difficult and scary to be in a space on my own in a different environment. But I felt so supported by being in the city that I knew I wanted to be in. I had always known since I was a kid I wanted to be in New York City. And so that within itself was such a huge moment of just honoring my deeper self, just by letting myself be in New York City when I had been denying myself that for years and years and years, letting myself just be in that place. And then that opened me up to, you know, different feelings I was having. I was in a relationship with a man at that time, and he was absolutely incredible. And I still to this day just hold him in such high regard. You know, like my life on paper just looked so perfect. And this was the time where I was really starting to dig into what was happening. I was listening to music that was painful to listen to, that was opening me up. I was reading things that were opening me up, and it all led to just this feeling inside of me where I was just like, okay, I feel this truth inside of me, which is that I am gay and it's going to come out. I don't know exactly what the path is going to be, but I am in acceptance about that. And I let the natural process kind of unfold. I remember being so afraid of having to break up with this person that I was with. And it was so extremely painful to do, but we were entering this point of our relationship where it was progressing. And I could not bear the thought of lying to him anymore, because that's what I felt like I was doing. I felt like if I was to take this next step in our relationship, I would be deceiving him because I wouldn't be honoring my truth. And so I ended our relationship. And he, like, even in the moment of our breakup, he was just so incredibly kind and wonderful. And he didn't know exactly what was going on with me, but he was just so supportive, even in the painful space of our breakup. And looking back on that, it makes me feel so grateful to have known that as that chapter of my life was ending, that's the person I ended it with. Just the best possible person ever. So after breaking up with him, then I was in this space of being on my own, and I was exploring that. And I hadn't told anybody, I hadn't come out to anyone at that point. And then I started to feel like, okay, I think I can start telling people who are close to me. And so I started doing that. And then after I had told everyone who was really important to me, I had like made phone calls, I had met with people in person. Sometimes it just kind of came out randomly because I was so nervous. I remember for one like experience, it was with my friend Eileen. We were in the car. And so there were just like all of these very varied experiences like I had pictured in my mind. It's going to be a very serious conversation. And the reality of it was like it happened in so many ways that I could have never predicted, because I really just let it come out in the moments where I felt like it needed to come out with these people. Then after I had done that, then I decided that I was going to tell my internet community, because it's something that I wanted and needed to do. And I thought about this, it just felt natural because so much of my work is also, you know, part of my life. Like my personal life is very much woven into my professional work. And to keep doing what I was doing, but then not talk about this huge part of myself, this huge journey that I had been on, just felt like such a betrayal to myself. And I think that ultimately that's where I had to act from, because I think that it's easy to feel like we have this sense of responsibility to other people. But I think what I've learned over the years is that the real responsibility is to myself.
Yeah.
That is the important thing. And when I thought about not telling my community online, it felt like a deep betrayal to myself. And so I knew that I needed to say something. And so I made the video. Basically, I was like, I'm going to enter this video telling people online in the same way that I had just told people in real life. And that's what I did. And I let it happen. And the only edits that I made in that video were when I was just sitting there crying. And I was like, okay, I'm going to cut this part out so I can keep moving along here. But other than that, it's a pretty unedited story of my coming out experience and everything that I had been feeling and what it felt like when I was younger and, you know, what I had been grappling with and the place that I was in that moment. And I think that was just such a huge stepping stone for me into deeper self exploration. And that video went up and, you know, I wasn't thinking, oh, this is going to be a viral thing. And then it did go viral in a really big way. And I remember being really intentional about stepping back from that. I think it was at the point where it had like 5 million views in just a couple of days. And I remember saying to Eileen, I don't want to hear anymore. Like, I can't hear any more numbers. I need to be like disconnected from what is happening online. I need to have like a healthy detachment here because I didn't want to get wrapped up in what was happening online because it would take me away from what was happening in my real life. And what I knew I needed in my real life was to just be with people that I loved. And so right after posting that coming out video, I had already planned to go on a road trip with some of my best friends. And we took a road trip up to Maine. So all of this was unfolding while we were on the road trip. And I think choosing to have that detachment was one of the best decisions that I made because it really grounded me in the true experience of what it was like in my real life to have come out to everyone and not be distracted by all of the comments coming in, all of the outlets that were picking it up, all of the broader commentary that was happening. I entered that space when I felt like I had given myself the experience of just being in the feelings of first putting out the video, the feeling of, oh my God, what am I doing? Then putting it out and feeling a huge sense of relief. And then feeling a huge sense of pride, and then feeling this overwhelming feeling of love of being surrounded by my best friends, people that were on this road trip with me. And, you know, we were watching the sunrise together and having these incredibly beautiful moments, and then stepping into the world of the internet after I had given myself that space. It allowed me to have a foundation of grounding that I think was so important for me, especially because it ended up being crazier than I had expected.
Totally. Yeah, no, that's really important. And I think what I'm hearing and everything that you're saying is just that you really allow that internal process to take place. Like even for me, the things that I've shared online, I think that's sort of the approach that I've taken as well of just, you know, making sure that I'm right on the inside with my choice, with, you know, my declaration, whatever it might be. And not that there aren't phases of that, but in that moment, I'm kind of as strong in that sense as I can be. And then going from there versus, you know, sharing when I'm still really hurt or I'm still really angry or, you know, I still feel really ashamed of something or whatever that thing might be. So I think that's a really, really beautiful lesson. And I love the way that you sort of padded your experience with a lot of love. And I know you've, you know, shared some really intense and powerful things on your channel many times. So is that something that you do often? Like you try to kind of separate and get in your body and in your life when you're doing things like that?
Totally. You know, I think what you were just saying about really recognizing where you are emotionally with something, I have realized that my number one rule with sharing online is I do not share anything that I am still very much in process with. And that is just my like baseline guiding light because I have to allow myself that space of privacy. You know, we're in such a vulnerable place when we are exploring these parts of ourselves that are often very, very painful. And we deserve to have that space of privacy to explore it in the way that we need to. And so it's really important for me to understand where I am in the process. And then if I decide, okay, this is something that I'm ready to talk about, then I think about, okay, how can I support myself knowing that even though I feel that this is something that I want to share in this moment, it's probably going to be difficult and at the very least, you know, exhausting just energetically and emotionally. So what can I do to help create those little pads of love? And, you know, sometimes it looks like telling people who I love and trust that I am going to do something that feels a little bit scary and that I'm nervous about. These are all normal feelings to have going into sharing a bigger piece of yourself or a more vulnerable piece of yourself, and kind of like creating that little support net that's going to be there. And then, you know, I'll set up things like going to a yoga class right after or a Pilates class right after. I think that has been something really valuable for me, is exploring my feelings and emotions, but then also learning to let them go through the process of moving my body. And how incredible and how incredibly healing it's been for me, giving myself that space to move my body, to connect with my body, to acknowledge feelings, but also the process of learning to let them go and walking out of a class and feeling, you know, even just like a tiny bit better than I did walking in before, feels like such a huge victory. And those are all just acts of love for myself. And I've learned these things over the years. And I've also learned that the internet is not where I do my work, it's where I share my work. And so that distinction has become really important for me, because whenever I start falling into, oh, I'm not doing enough, and, you know, I'm looking at things online and feeling like I'm just not enough and that I need to be doing more, and I'm really starting to beat myself up, I realize that that's not coming from, you know, a place of truth. It's coming from a place of fear and worry. And it shows me that I'm starting to associate my work with being done online, when the reality is all of my work is done offline. You know, whether it's the personal work of figuring out what it is that I'm going through, or even just the simple act of recording a video, I'm not online when the filming is happening. I'm not connected to the internet. I have a camera in front of me, but I'm not online. Like, everything is done offline, and the internet is just where I share my work, but it's not the place where I'm doing my work. And so when I remind myself of that, it gives me so much comfort, because it reminds me that, okay, I'm in the place where I need to be. And I also think about when you were on my podcast on One Step, yes, and you talked about, you know, we often need to share the things that we want to hide the most, because those are usually the things that we've done the most work around. That made me think about my experience with lying about going to college, because that was a story that I started to tell publicly within the last year. Like, I had talked about it for years with people who were close to me, but this last year was the first year where I talked about it publicly, because it was one of the things that I felt so afraid of. But when you said that, I was like, it's also something that I have definitely done the most work around. And I am so familiar with that story. And I am so familiar with all of the feelings that I have gone through. And I reached that point of not sharing this story feels like a betrayal to myself now. And I want to free myself of that. And it was that moment when we were recording the podcast, I remember looking at you when you were saying that. And in my head, I was thinking, oh my gosh, like, I can tell this story. I thought for so long that this was something that I would never talk about. But Nitika is like making me realize this is something that I can do. And that was such a huge moment for me.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I remember while we were having that conversation, like you seemed like you were coming to a realization as I was talking. And I was like, I wonder what's going on? Like, what are you thinking? And I'm so happy that that was what was coming up for you, because I'm sure that that helped so many people. And I know me watching that video, I was just like definitely feeling less alone. And even though I technically graduated college, it was not my, you know, shining moment. School was never something that I was good at. I think a lot of it was because of my emotional, personal stuff that was going on with my health and just feeling so distracted by all of that. And the trauma and the grief that I was feeling through my body was just made school incredibly, incredibly, incredibly hard. And so it made me feel less alone. And I think it's really powerful to see that this societal marker like actually doesn't have to mean anything. Like you can create whatever you want. And you're in a beautiful example of that. So thank you for having the courage to share that with us, because that really made a difference. And I can't believe it, but our time is just about done, which I'm just like, that's so weird.
I know. It went by so fast. What in the world?
I know. I feel like I have, you know, 35 more questions that I could ask you. So we'll have to do it again, maybe. And, you know, I'll definitely be linking to everything that you're up to in our show notes, because there's a lot to share about what you're doing. Yeah, I'm just so, so grateful. Is there anything that you like feel like you still want to share that you didn't get the chance to? Is there anything on the top of your heart that you want to share?
I feel really good. I feel like this is a great conversation. I always love talking to you. I feel like even when I saw you a few weeks ago, it was like, oh my gosh, how have we spent an hour and a half together talking this whole time?
I know. That was so sweet. For all of you who are listening, I was watching Ingrid's Instagram stories and I saw that she was in my neighborhood. I texted her, and we haven't actually, until then, we hadn't really hung out one-on-one before. And I texted her and I was like, hey, not to be a creeper, but you around still?
And I was.
You so were. And you came and met me in Central Park, and it was really, really, really nice. It was on a day that I really needed a bright, beautiful, shining spirit like yourself. So it was perfect. And I think it's been actually getting to know you and becoming friends with you has been a really like sweet, wonderful thing for me at this age and stage in my life, because I feel like I'm at a place where I'm really choosing the friends that I have based on how they make me feel in my own self, and how, you know, they reflect things to me that are aligned with what I really want for my life. And you're just a great example of that. So for all those listening, make sure that you're kind of keeping that in mind, because I think that's really important.
Yeah, totally. And I feel the same way about you, Nitika. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you for being here, Ingrid. I cannot wait to see what you do in 2020. I'm super excited, and I'll be sure to be following along.
Thank you so much.
All right, loves. Now it's just me, Nitika, and I am going to talk to you a little bit about something to meditate on. So this is our segment that we do after the interview called Meditate on This. And I'm really just already so moved by the conversation that I had with Ingrid. And when we stopped recording, we actually kept talking for like another half an hour, because there was just so, so much to talk about. And I think we're going to try to do something else together soon, because we have a lot more to share with you. And that's just such a beautiful feeling, and something that makes this work and doing this podcast feel so worth it, which is really nice. So, you know, every week, if you've been listening, or every other week rather, when we share the podcast, every episode, we talk about something at the end that I want you to sort of take from the episode and think about as you go through your next 2 weeks until the next episode is out. And this week, you know, we talked about so, so, so much with Ingrid. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting, and something that would be really easy for you to meditate on and just sort of add to your daily thoughts and what you're already trying to do for yourself, is this conversation around how the internet can actually be a place for us to find community and connection. And it can actually be a place where we feel supported and not a place that's draining or exhausting and where it's, you know, creating more anxiety in our lives and all of that. And I know, honestly, I can be guilty of that too. I do a decent job, I think, of filtering out my Instagram stuff and not staying online too much, or, you know, waiting to answer DMs until I'm mentally or emotionally able to, or, you know, just little things like that where I feel like I'm not making myself be on the hook to the internet, which is a very different feeling than going to the internet to get your cup refilled. And so I really would love for you to start looking into your life and seeing, where are you going to the internet and finding more pain or more frustration? And how can you turn that around and start creating boundaries for yourself, whether that's muting people or unsubscribing to things that don't make you feel good, or putting a timer on your phone so that you don't let yourself be on the internet or social media too long? And then how can you sort of reflect on your own life and see, what are the areas in which maybe you feel a little alone, or you feel like there's a lack of community or support around a certain area of your life? And how can you go into on the web or into YouTube or Instagram and start to curate content based on that need, based on this part of your life that you would really love to feel more connection and support around? I think that would be such a beautiful practice if you're feeling the need to rework some of your, you know, ways that you interact with the web. And I love that Ingrid brought this up. And, you know, with such a huge following, she's got over 8 million followers across all social platforms. It's really a remarkable thing that she's been able to do this. You know, it's really a remarkable thing that she's been able to navigate the internet in this way, even with all of the content that she creates. So this week, the next couple weeks, I'd love for you to meditate on, how can you make the internet a place that serves you versus a place that depletes you? I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening in on this episode of The Point of Pain. It's always such an honor to be with you, and I hope you gained some insight on how to process pain in your life moving forward. I would absolutely love to stay connected with you. And the best way to do that is by following me over on Instagram at Nitika Chopra. I'm constantly sharing my most tender moments, deepest insights, and letting you in on what's happening in my world over on the gram. So I hope to see you there. I'm sending you so much love and wishing you a beautiful rest of your day.